Will you turn with me to the Gospel of St. John, or John, John's Gospel, the 18th chapter? Just a couple scriptures that have inspired this message. This is Jesus before Pilate. He was delivered up to Pilate to be tried. And in the 37th verse, we're going to begin the reading to the 38th verse, 37 and 38, 18th chapter. Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" And when he had thus said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto him, "I find in him no fault at all." And I want to stop the reading right there. The theme and subject of this message this morning is, what is truth? What is truth? Pilate was staring at truth right there in the face of Jesus Christ. What is truth? Praise God. And that to me is the question of the hour. What is truth? Because the enemy would like us to believe other things. Praise God. And we find in God's word such encouragement in earlier first chapter of John. And it says, "And the word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth," referring to Jesus. In the 14th chapter of John, Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Oh, praise God this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the truth that we find in Christ Jesus. You know, the Bible characterizes this time in which we live to be an age of great deception. Great deception, the lies and the falsehoods that are being shown and spoken in this world today. And it's one of the greatest to me is there's no absolute truth. It's everybody has their own truth. What's your truth is your truth, and what my truth is my truth. And no, that's a lie. There is an absolute truth. Praise God, that God's word is the absolute truth. Jesus Christ is truth. Praise God. And Jesus tells us in one of the Gospels here in John, I believe, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Praise God. That's what he is. He is truth. He didn't spare words. He told it like it was. And when he was confronted by the Pharisees and Sadducees and all the different ones, he spoke the truth. Praise God. And some people today don't want to hear the truth because it's too painful. It interrupts what their truth is, and it disagrees, and it causes them to be conflicted. But there is an absolute truth, praise God. That, you know, some people, the enemy gives a false security to people. Well, if I'm just a good person, if I obey the laws, if I'm kind to my fellow man, if I am a good citizen, a good person, I'm going to be in heaven. I'm going to make it. I'm going to be okay. That's what the falsities of the enemy would say to us, that we depend on works. Well, if I do this and do that, if I follow this and follow that, that's the word of God tells us exactly the opposite. It says all have sinned and come short of the glory. There's not one righteous, no, not one. It's not our works. Praise God. We can't do enough works. We can't do enough works to buy our salvation. It's impossible impossible. We are sinners saved by grace. It is the grace of God, a free gift of God to give us the faith to believe in the atoning power of Jesus' blood to wash us clean and to save our souls. Praise the Lord. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this truth. Thank you, Lord, for what you spoke to us. And given that as kind of a background, what is truth? Don't you want to know what the truth is? Don't you want to know what is truth? What is real and what is not? Don't you hate when people lie to you, when you find out that somebody told you something that was not true? Oh, Lord, help us to examine your truths, not to be fooled, not to be careless, but to examine your truths this morning. Praise God. I think of the rich young ruler that came to Jesus, and he says, "Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to eternal life?" And you see, that tells us several things, that he knew there was something in his heart that was questioning, am I okay? Is it all right? He had some sort of religion, some sort of background. What is it that there's something I'm going to ask Jesus? And when he asked Jesus, he says, "Well, you know the commandments, follow this, follow that." And he says, "I've done all those things. I've done all those things. But is there something else?" And then Jesus told him, "Sell all that you have and give to the poor and follow me." And it says the young man went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. What was he doing? He wanted truth. He didn't like the answer he got, but he wanted truth. He wanted to know, what's the truth? That was his question. What is the truth? Am I okay? Well, the pastor told me I was okay. The pastor just said, I'm good. Is that enough for you? It's not enough for me. Amen. I want to know. I want to know from the Lord, praise God, that I'm okay. And that's the beauty of the Holy Spirit, praise God, that he placed within us. We can know without a shadow of a doubt that we belong to him, that we're right with him. Not that we're sinless, not that we don't make mistakes, not that we don't have shortcomings, not that we don't fail, but our efforts and our desire is to follow Christ. And we can know, praise God. Oh, thank you, Lord. And I think of, in the second chapter of Acts, the day of Pentecost, when the church was born. New Covenant Church was born. Everything before that was Old Covenant. When Christ came, he brought the New Covenant. And by his death on the cross and the shedding of his blood, he paid for this price of our sin, that you and I could be reconciled back to the Father. That it's by his precious blood, praise God, that we're washed clean in the eyes of God. Jesus, God sees us through the filter of the blood, that we're cleansed and washed clean, praise God. And Peter, we know the story. The Feast of Pentecost was celebrated every year, and all the Jews from all over the known world came back to Jerusalem to celebrate this feast. How God does things, his timing is absolutely beautiful. And on the day of Pentecost, and Jesus had just ascended, 10 days before, had just ascended, the two angels stood by and they said, "You men of Galilee, you see, Jesus is going up. He's going to come back the same way. He went to the Father to be glorified." And on the day of Pentecost, Jesus, before Jesus ascended, he told them, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And lo and behold, they prayed. They prayed. And they didn't know really what they were praying for. He said, pray until you be endued with power from on high. And on the day of Pentecost, you can read the story. It says, the Holy Spirit descended and fell on them. It was like cloven tongues of fire. And they all spoke with other tongues. Languages they did not know or learn or understand. But God spoke through them. And all these Jews that came from all over the known world, they heard them speak in their native tongues. I think there were something like 19 different languages in their manifestation that they spoke. And these Jews that came back to Jerusalem, they were astounded. What does this mean? What's the story here? What is going on? We've never seen anything like this. We hear these unlearned Jews, they're speaking the glory of God in our native language. What's going on? And Peter, the most unlikely one to get up, God inspired him by the Holy Spirit to preach a message. To preach a message in that day that just went from the succession of Jesus to the throne of his father David. It just was not like reading an essay. It was something inspired by the Holy Spirit to talk about Christ and evangelize of his coming. Jesus crucified, risen, ascended to the Father. And he says in the last days, in quoting the prophet Joel in the Old Testament, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And these, when he got done, these Jews that heard and saw this and heard this message, they were convicted in their heart. And they said, and it says, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Men and brethren, what shall we do? They heard truth. They heard truth. Let's go back for a moment to the third chapter of John. Nicodemus, who was a member of the Sanhedrin, the ruling body, of the religious body of the Jews, he went to Jesus at night. He didn't want to be identified. He didn't want anyone to see him. We know the situation that Jesus was kind of out there according to the norms of their religion. And he went to Jesus at night and he began to ask him questions. And I love what Jesus spoke to him. Bear with me one moment. He said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. He recognized his deity. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He goes on a little later and says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Don't you think we want to know what that truth is? What is the born-again experience? Is it simply saying the sinner's prayer? Is it discarding a few habits in your life? Is it trying to live right? What is the born-again experience? What is truth? Your eternal destiny depends on you understanding what is truth. This life will end. We're finite. Whether however long we live, how many years, it will come to an end. And in that end, we face the great eternity. Our brother Lewis used to quote this a lot. A writer once said, life is an isthmus between two eternities. Which eternity will you choose? That's right, choose. You have a choice. Which eternity will you choose? Are you going to seek out truth? Lord, what is it that I need? This young man, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? These Jews, after Peter got done preaching, men and brethren, what shall we do? We've been confronted with something we never heard before. We've seen something we've never experienced or seen before. We've seen the power of God. What shall we do? What are you going to do? Young people, you have a long life, God willing, in front of you. How are you going to live it? Are you going to live for Christ? Are you going to seek the born-again experience? What is the born-again experience? You see, Jesus didn't come to just fix our old nature. The old nature was corrupt by sin. When the first parents sinned, sin became part of the spiritual DNA. And we were all born in sin. Every one of us, there's not one can say, oh no, not me. Oh no, every one of us was born in sin. And it took the saving power of Christ. His death on the cross shed blood, praise God, that paid the price for every sin. Now, present, past, future, every sin. And Jesus tells us we must be born again. What does Peter say to him? Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, talking about water baptism, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What was he talking about there? What these 120 received, what you saw, the evidence of what they received, you can receive. It's available to you. And the Word of God says, you need it. You need it to live the life. You need it to walk the walk. In the scriptures, in the epistles, in Galatians, you know, walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. To walk in the Spirit, that's the mission. The Holy Spirit is just the beginning, praise God. The baptism is just the beginning. It's walking in the Spirit. How do I walk in the Spirit? Well, you need to be filled with the Spirit. It's not just that the Lord, like I said, didn't come just to fix the old nature. The old nature is not fixable. He gave us a new nature, praise God, a new creature in Christ Jesus, the Word says. We've been made new. All things become new, praise God. The old thoughts, the old ideas, the old habits, the old way of speaking is gone, praise God. Everything changes. That doesn't mean we're perfect. That doesn't mean we don't make mistakes. We don't sin. We don't practice sinning. We practice living right and living righteous. We practice serving God. Praise God. And the Lord helps us. And the Holy Spirit helps us, praise God. He's the helper, praise God. One called paraclete. One called alongside to help. To help us live the life. Because you and I don't have the strength in our nature. The enemy is too strong for us. The enemy will overcome you. He will defeat you. Well, I can stand up against the devil. No, you can't. You'll be defeated. He has schemes. He has plots. He has ways of, he follows you around every day. He knows what you read. He knows what you look at. He knows what you do. He knows what you say. He knows how to tempt you. He knows how to discourage you. He knows how to defeat you. He knows how to make you feel unworthy. But oh, thanks be to God for the present power of the Holy Spirit that he gave us. Jesus said, you must be born again. Why would Jesus say that? Because he knew. He understood. No longer living in our own abilities and power to serve God, but living in his strength, praise the Lord, allowing him to help us, allowing him to encourage us, allowing him to draw us closer to him, praise God. Oh Lord, help us. What eternity will you pick? What is truth? Don't you want to know the truth? I want to know the truth. I want to know what, Lord, what is, how am I doing? Is this right before you? How am I living my life? Lord, are you pleased with me? Is there something I need to discard? Is there something I need to change? Is there something I need to forsake? Is there something in my life, Lord, that is causing me to look astray? Pilate didn't get it. What is truth? And Jesus is the truth. His word is the truth. People today, we have people in pulpits that'll have you thinking otherwise. You know, one thing beautiful about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the message, it never changes. The word of God never changes. Wouldn't it be terrible if after all these years, we believe in one thing and all of a sudden the council comes out or the brothers get together and we say, well, you know, I think we're going to change and we're going to believe this. What you did 30 years ago may have been a sin, but today it's okay. His truth never changes. Praise God. We can count on it. The word is truth. That's Christ. He is the word. His word is truth. What is truth? How am I living my life? We see many today mock and scorn and say, well, just like in Peter's letter, the second epistle, Peter to the churches that he wrote. He said, many mockers will come saying, where is the coming of the Lord? Where, ever since the fathers fell asleep, nothing's changed. You talk about the rapture, you talk about Jesus coming back. Where is it? Nothing's changed. Nothing's happened. Everything stays the same. And Peter writes, don't, God's holding off. Don't consider that as slackness, but it's God's mercy. Not willing that any should perish. Waiting till the number be complete. Oh Lord, help us. And you know, it's incumbent upon us as leaders of this congregation and anyone who handles the word of God to live the truth. Amen? We have to be examples, first of all, to live the truth. If we read the word and say something and we don't do it in our personal lives, there's going to be a disconnect. The congregation is going to look at us and say, I don't get it. The word says, pray without ceasing. You don't see us praying. You ought to take us to task. Jesus said men ought always to pray. If you don't see us doing that, you need to take us to task. We're not infallible. Absolutely not. We make mistakes. We have our own weaknesses. But I believe our desire and our heart, I can speak for the brothers who wants to serve Jesus Christ. Because we that preach the truth have to live the truth. And we have to show the example. And we're saying to you and to ourselves this morning, Lord, thank you for the truth that is in Christ Jesus. I hope you embrace it. I hope you go after the truth. Lord, show me the truth. Show me what is it. You know, sometimes people get confused. They hear one pastor say one thing and one pastor say another thing. And go back to the Word of God. What agrees with the Word? If it agrees with the Word, it's right. If it doesn't agree with the Word, it's wrong. Simple. Ask the Lord. Lord, is this truth? Will God answer that prayer? Absolutely. You think God wants you to get fooled? You think God wants you to be hoodwinked? You think God wants to see you lose out? Absolutely not. He gave his only son for your salvation and my salvation. He died a cruel death. He shed his blood, absolutely sinless. Now God would cause you to be lost? Absolutely not. But the onus is on you and me. What is truth? How are you living your life? Don't make excuses. Don't make excuses for yourself. Be honest and open before God. Lord, please. I don't want to come to that day and find out, oh, well, no, you're not right. You know, we don't quote this scripture much, but, you know, it says in Matthew, I believe it is, Jesus told his many followers, he says, many will say, haven't we done this in your name? And haven't we done that in your name? Haven't we healed the sick? And haven't we gone to church? And haven't we helped the poor? And haven't we done this and that and the other? And all good things. And he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. Because something isn't right. Your heart isn't right before the Lord. Lord, help us. In this age of deception, help us, Lord, that we don't get fooled. We don't settle into complacency to say, well, I'm okay. No, we need to follow Christ. We need to press for the kingdom. Paul says, I press for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm pressing. I'm not just skipping along. I'm not just trailing. I'm not just going along. Well, I'll be there sometime. No, I'm pressing. I'm in the forefront. I'm at the front of the line. I'm pressing. I have a desire to draw closer to Christ. I have a desire to follow him. I have a desire for him to live in me, praise God. I have a desire, as the brother quoted, to know the great and mighty things of God. Oh, Lord, help us this morning. Help us this morning. His word is truth. And Brother Ron, I'm not so sure where I fare. I wouldn't doubt every one of us have had that thought at one time in our lives. I'm not so sure where I fare. Maybe after failing the Lord, maybe after cooling off, maybe after getting sidetracked and something catches up with us, we sang, his goodness is running after me. You know, when the Lord comes after someone and they're convicted, they sometimes think that's negative. And I think just the opposite. God loves you so much. He's not willing for you to be lost. You might be out there. You might be out of the ark of safety. You might be far from God, but God, you're not off his radar. And he's looking at you and saying, oh, come back. Come on. What are you doing? Well, I'm living my life. I got school. I got career. I got to get this and I got to do that. And you got to get right with God. Put him first. Everything else will take care of itself. We just do the opposite. We take care of everything else. And the Lord says, what about me? Pilate, looking at Christ, what is truth? You and I could take Pilate's place. What is truth? What is it, Lord, that I need? As the rich young ruler said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? The men and brethren, when they heard Peter's message, brethren, what shall we do? There was conviction. Conviction is a wonderful thing. It shakes us. It causes us to consider, what's going on? Am I okay? Am I gonna see the Lord in that day? Am I gonna live in the heavenly glory? And remember what Peter wrote, inspired by the Holy Spirit, not willing that any should perish. Not willing that one be lost. Our God is faithful this morning. Brother, sister, would you come forward? I'm going to close right here. Our God is faithful this morning. He's calling us. Wherever you are in your spiritual walk with the Lord, some are advanced, some are not, but wherever you are in your spiritual walk with the Lord, seek his face. Lord, what is it that you want from me? It's not too early and it's not too late. What is it that you want from me? How is it with my soul? Don't you want to know how is it with your soul? You might tell yourself, well, I'm okay, everything's good. I'm a good person, but in your heart of hearts, I gotta believe that doesn't ring true. When the Holy Spirit witnesses it to you, when the Holy Spirit within you begins to tell you, you feel his presence. You know he's real. You can talk to him. You can commune with him. You might be driving your car. You might be on your job. You might be somewhere sitting quiet and you can commune with the Lord. There's relationship there. It's not knowing about Jesus. Everybody knows about, well, most everybody knows about Jesus. A great teacher, blah, 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 blah. You can quote, but they don't know him personally, a personal Jesus. Someone that is real. Praise God, someone that lives within us. Praise the Lord that we can feel his presence. And we can see the work, what happens in our lives. Oh, that was God. That was God. I know God made a way. I know God did this. I know God did that. I can see it and I can feel it. Once I was like this, once I was way out, once I didn't believe anything, once I didn't want to hear about God, and now God has changed my life. Once I was on drugs, once I had bad habits, once I was an alcoholic, and now I'm changed. How did it happen? It wasn't the 10-step program. It was the power of God. He brought you to this place. You're not here by accident this morning. Some of you have been here a long time. When you first came, it wasn't by accident. God already saw you afar off. He knew your name. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He put his finger on you. Just as he saw Zacchaeus in the tree. All the multitude there He looked up and saw Zacchaeus in the tree. Oh, praise God. Isn't God good? I love the parable Jesus told about leaving the shepherd, left the 99 and went after the one. Well, 99% is pretty good. You know, you get 99% of anything. Hey, I'll settle for 99%. Not Christ. Not Christ. Not willing that any should perish. Lord, help us this morning. What is truth? Lord, we know what the truth is. Help us to live it. May his name be praised. Do we have a song?